never followed the Lord in biblical baptism, but you'd like to, talk to me about it. Come and talk to me about it. Any service, all we have to do is plug in. We fill the tank. We heat it a little bit because that well water is shockingly cold if you don't add a little temperature to it, and then we can baptize. So come and talk to me. Of course, in order to be baptized, you need to have first received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is writing about here in Romans chapter 6. So I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 11, and then I'm going to show you what the apostle's talking about. The title of my message is Living in the Likeness of the Resurrection. And that's what Paul is going to show us the picture of baptism is in the Christian's life. And you and I are supposed to live a life that shows the resurrected Savior in our daily life. So Romans chapter 6, verses 1 down through 11, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So when we read this text, what we find the apostle doing is he is drawing a mental picture for us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's linking that to baptism, that we might understand that when we are baptized, we are picturing Christ's death and burial and his resurrection. And that's why when you go into the New Testament, all through the book of Acts, you find that that's exactly what they did. Christ himself being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Then you find that the apostles, as they won people to Christ, they would baptize folks. And they would go to that body of water, whatever it may be. If you ever travel to Jerusalem, they'll take you into downtown Jerusalem and they'll show you the old cisterns that used to be there where the people would come to get water. And those steps going down into the cistern, believe it or not, they would go down and there they would baptize them right in the center where all the people were, so that everybody could see that this person has received Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for their salvation. And of course, women would be there getting water. There'd be men there getting water for their animals. There'd be ladies getting water to cook or to do laundry. It was the center of the community where there was water. So everybody would be understanding this person has received the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as Paul writes to the church in Rome, he's helping them to understand the picture. So he builds for us that understanding that we are baptized unto the death of Christ. And that's what he tells us. Pick it up there in verse 6 with me. He says to them in Romans 6, verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And so he links us directly to Christ, his death, And you and I, dying to the old man, dying to our sin, receiving Christ that we might live a life that honors God. So as he talks down through here, we understand that the old man is crucified with Jesus Christ. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it reminds us that you and I are to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Colossians 3:9 says to you and I that we need to put off the old man with his old deeds. And so over and over again, Paul is driving home this point that when we receive Christ and we get baptized, we're picturing that old dying, like Christ went to the grave, died, crucified for the sins of mankind. You and I embracing that death. You and I embracing that and us dying to the old man spiritually that we might live as a new person in Christ. You and I, according to verse 4 in this text, we are buried with him in baptism. Listen to what he says. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. But he wants us to know that when we go under that water, we're telling the whole world, I am buried in Christ. Just as he went to the grave, I spiritually have gone to the grave, and now I'm going to resurrect as a new person in Christ. It's not that baptism changes us. It pictures or proclaims the change that has taken place when we receive Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. So you and I, baptized unto his death. Sometimes folks will ask me, well, why do you Baptists baptize by submersion? Why don't you go ahead and just sprinkle? Why don't you just daub some water on somebody? And the reason we baptized by submersion is because that's what we see in the New Testament. That's what we see the early apostles doing. That's what we saw Christ, how he was baptized. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. So for us, it's a strong image. We understand the picture based upon the Word of God. So he says, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. And therefore, we are freed from sin because we died to the old man. Listen to verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That's why Christ said we are washed, washed clean, white as snow spiritually. Not by the baptismal waters, but by the regeneration of Christ. His shed blood applied to us spiritually cleanses us. And we are now free from that sinful life. Well, Pastor, then how come I see so many Christians commit sin? Because they drag that old dead man along with them. Instead of letting go, they drag that dead man along. Years ago when I was just a boy, and it's getting more and more years ago, I don't know how that's happening. But I grew up out in the country. We coon hunted when I was a kid, and we were just country folks. But I remember my grandfather talking about how that when he was a boy, if they had a dog, a coon dog, who killed a chicken, do you know what they would do with that chicken? They would tie it around the neck of the dog, and they would leave that rotting chicken on the dog until it fell off. And the idea being that that dog would never kill another chicken. I have no idea whether it would or not. It was the story of a granddad, but I remembered it. But you know, sometimes as repulsive as that sounds, sometimes that's exactly what we do in our lives. We receive Christ as our Savior and we die to the old man. And we become a new person in Christ and we die to that old sin nature. But we scoop up all that old, dead, rotted sin, we tie it around our neck, and we wear it boldly as a bow tie. And all along it stinks and reeks because it's old, rotted, nasty sin. But Christ says to us, he says, you're freed from that. Through the power of Christ and your newness of life, you can ask God to give you the grace and the power and the enabling to allow you to let loose of those things, those sins that so easily beset you. We're set free from it. In fact, when you come down to verse 11, he tells us to reckon ourselves dead to it. Listen to verse 11 again in Romans chapter 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying to us, it's a choice, it's a decision that you make. You decide, I'm not going to drag that old sin into my new life. I'm going to let it go. He says, reckon yourself to that. And I want you to understand that that word, that old English word, reckon, it's not a casual, passive word. It's an aggressive, strong word. He's saying you are making a conscientious, purposeful, determined decision to let go of those old sins. I reckon myself dead to those old sins. My grandboys came to visit us for a day the other day. Joy, she came and spent the night, and for one day they were here. And those little guys, when they come to the house, we do everything we can to have a good time with them. And so I have a little four-wheeler that Dick and Nancy let me have when their grandson outgrew it. And so I got it running, and it runs good. And yeah, I've got little grandboys from 6 years old up to 11. And I get them out there on that four-wheeler, and there's all those fields around me. And they go around the house, and they go out into the fields if they're mowed. They're not allowed to go out if they're not mowed, because it destroys the farmer's hay. And so they're going around, and one of the little twins, who's 6 years old, it was his turn. Last turn. And so I get him on it. I remind him how the throttle works. It's a little mini four-wheeler. Make sure he's all set. He goes around the house, and he hits the back of the house. And so my daughter, she freaks out. Dad, I told you he can't. I said, he can do it. It's okay. He's gone around the house 150 times before. So I go down, and I ask him, I say, what happened? I mean, it's a big house. You got all these fields. He purposely came around the house and turned and came into the back of the house. How? So we chat about it. We talk for a minute. Mom comes down and yells at him. He starts bawling. She leaves. I calm him down. I said, now listen, do you want to show Mom that you can really do this? Because, I mean, he's 6 years old. He's fully capable, right? 6 years old? So he says, yes, yes, sniffling the whole deal. So I get his helmet back on him, and then I tell him, because I want him to reckon himself to not hit the back of the house again, because that's going to be a problem between Mom and me. So I get him in there, and I look at him, and I say, now listen, go where you've seen your brothers go 100 times around the house. Don't come down into the back of the house. And he looks at me, he says, okay, Grandpa. And I get it turned around, I get it running again, and he did it perfect. But he reckoned not to come around and bam into the back of the house. He decided, I'm going to show Mom I can do this. Now, we find that humorous with little six-year-old on a little four-wheeler. But you know what? Sometimes that's how we are in our lives. We get going in our daily life, and we've got to blaze a new trail. We can't go where all the other Christians have gone on before. We've got to go ahead and see if we can't do something edgy, something wild, something crazy. And then we hit the house. In our lives. Here he tells us, he says, we reckon ourselves dead to those old sins. We make a decision. I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to do it because God has given me newness of life. I'm going to do this because I love him and he loves me and I'm a child of his. So he tells us in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But then he gives the positive. Because I remind you, God doesn't take something away from you without giving you something better. And so when you look at the second part of verse 11, listen to what he says. He says, but, so you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says, you get rid of all that sin that's part of the old man, the sinful man, and you embrace that life that Jesus Christ has given you. You embrace that which is positive and good and wholesome that brings purity and clarity into your life, walking in his life. When we get baptized, we tell the whole world, I've died to the old man. I've embraced Christ's death. And I resurrect as a new man in Christ, even as he resurrected from the grave and ascended up to be at the right hand of the Father. That's what Paul is talking about. In likeness of that resurrection. Listen to the second half of verse 5. I'll read all of verse 5. He says, but if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He doesn't leave us in the grave. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to baptize Ian. Ian's going to come up, and he's going to get baptized. And in the back here before church, I went over it with him. I said, now, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to put a handkerchief in my hand, and I'm going to cover your nose and your mouth, and then I'm going to put you under the water. And I look at everybody. If I've ever baptized you, I tell them, and I've never lost anybody. Because I want them to know. I'm not going to keep you under there. We're not going to have to call 911. We're not going to be looking for rescue people. I'm going to go, baptized in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That fast, because we come to a newness of life in that baptism. That's what he's teaching about here. Oh, listen, if you've never been baptized the way the New Testament teaches, if you've never been scripturally baptized, I challenge you. Come and talk to me. It is a great experience to go ahead and embrace what the Bible teaches and be buried under the water as Christ went to the grave and resurrect in newness of life. It's not that it saves you. You're already born again. You're already saved when you receive Christ as your Savior. But you're showing the whole world that you have embraced this in your Christian life. Paul wanted the believers in Rome to understand why they were doing it, why they were baptizing, what it meant and the significance of it. And you and I are no different than those early century Christians. We need to understand. Why do we do what we do? Why do we believe what we believe? If we're true Christians, we should strive towards and desire to know in our hearts what we believe and why we believe it. And this text reminds us why we do what we do when it comes to baptism. So let's take just a moment. We're going to bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you to look in your heart. Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, then you're still in your sin. And you need to receive Christ as your Savior, that you might die to the old man, that you might die to those old sins. Don't leave this place today without Christ. And if you have received Christ, if you are born again, then come talk to me. Let me baptize you. Follow the Lord in that first step of obedience, that you might show the whole world that you have embraced the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm going to turn it over to Brother John, but I'm going to get ready to baptize. And so those who are going to be baptized, you want to slip right up and get ready. And we're going to go ahead and do that. Brother John?
Would you please stand together? We're going to lift up our voices as we sing. The words will be on the screen. I surrender all. If you have been spoken to by the Lord this morning, we invite you to come, pray to the altar, and we'd love to see you make decisions for the Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender. Seated.
So as I have gone through the scriptures and explained to you, baptism is really a public proclamation of the fact that somebody has received Christ as their Savior, received the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for their sins, that they might have eternal life. So just as we find in the book of Acts and the early Christians, we still baptize the same way. And in the 30 years I've pastored here, I have baptized here. I've baptized down at the boat ramp in Virgins. I've baptized out at Button Bay. I can't remember.
The cattle tank when we first
came here. Oh, the cattle tank when I first came here. We baptized in the cattle tank. But all of those were going under the water, picturing the death, and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're going to baptize Ian first. Come on down, Ian. Be real careful you don't slip. Hold up there, Ralph. No, it's not cold because we warm it up a little. This is Ian Gay, and Ian had received Christ as a Savior. When did you do that?
When I was 5.
5 years old. And you know what? When you're raised in the house of the Lord, you learn very young about Christ. And so I've seen many of a young person receive Christ when they're 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, because they understand, because they've been exposed since they were an infant. And so Ian had come to John the other day and said he wanted to get baptized. And so we talked to him, and he's sincere in his faith. And so I have a couple questions for you, Ian. If you were to die right now, what would happen to you?
I'd go to heaven.
And why?
Because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior.
Amen. Do you understand that the baptismal waters don't save you?
Yes.
Who saves us?
Jesus.
Amen. This one too.
I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. And this is Jeremiah. Come on down, Jeremiah. Hold on to the This is Jeremiah Perrier, and he has received Christ as his Savior at youth camp this last week. Right, Jeremiah? And if you were to die right now, what would happen to you, Jeremiah?
Go to heaven.
And why?
I received Jesus as my Savior.
Okay. And do you understand that baptismal waters don't save you?
Mm-hmm.
Who saves us?
Jesus.
Amen. So I'm going to have you hold my arm. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And all the people said?
Amen.
Thank you very much for being in the Lord's house today. So Amel Dupree texted to ask that we pray for Anthony's dad. He was taken to the UVM Medical Center this morning, so pray for him. And then also, if you would, pray for
Matilda
Horn. Matilda is in the last stages of life. She has terminal cancer. She has days left. So pray for Matilda. She was part of our church many years ago and then moved away. But she has come to live with her daughter while she passes away. And we need to pray for her. So, Robbie Bedell and his surgery and recovery, pray for him as well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you so much for being in God's house tonight. Please come back tonight. The Puffer is going to be ministering to us in song. We'd love to have you come and celebrate Christ with us in that. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us. As we go forth from this place, help us to be a witness and a testimony of you. Lord, how we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection, not for your sins, for you are the sinless.